On Wednesday, July 13th, 2012, I entered the automatic double doors of Byerly's, an upscale supermarket in the Minneapolis suburb of St. Louis Park. Beneath the overbright lights of the gigantic overhead chandeliers, my fellow citizens hustled about, price comparing and melon thumping. I'd come to attend my first Toastmasters meeting, a prospect which felt only slightly more enticing than root canal surgery. For reasons I hope to make clear over the course of this audiobook, I'd signed myself up to perform the world's most dreaded activity, in front of strangers. The decision meant subjecting myself to certain humiliation, not once, but weekly, for the next 6 months or more. Perhaps most daunting, I'd agreed to do so in the least comfortable environment imaginable, my hometown, which is to say that 22 years after deliberately disconnecting from Minneapolis by moving to New York City, I'd circled back with my partner Isabel, 7 months pregnant, so she could give birth to our first child with the support of my family, while immersing myself coincidentally in an art form known for two millennia as the art of connection. I could hardly wait to explain it all to whomever I might run into from high school. Generally, public speaking is defined as the act of delivering prepared remarks to a group of people. It's TED Talks, Nobel Prize acceptance speeches, wedding toasts and eulogies, class reports, work presentations, and group discussions. 2,400 years ago, Aristotle, the world's greatest authority on the subject, described it a little differently. In public or private, he taught, we speak for one reason: to persuade. Speech, in his view, was a grand and ceaseless argument. In the bedroom, the boardroom, or the public square, this endless competition, my point of view against yours, ours against theirs, was actually a partnership. It was the collective collaboration through which we develop and adjust our ideas about the foundations of civilization: justice, law, morality, and culture. To study the art of speech was more than merely learning to speak well or prettily. It meant exploring the basic operating system of human nature, the means by which we assert our identity and ultimately resolve questions of good and bad, true and false. Isocrates, Aristotle's more successful contemporary and one of Athens' most famous speech teachers, with whom Aristotle almost never saw eye to eye, agreed with him on this. Speech was the quintessential human activity. For Isocrates, eloquence was intertwined with good action and larger notions of citizenship. If there was a single art form the mastery of which would make us wiser, more just, and more useful to our fellow citizens, it was public speaking. If these ideas today seemed pie in the sky, I'd interviewed hundreds of Toastmasters who seemed to prove his point. Learning to give speeches had transformed their lives and made them better, happier people. As a writer and journalist, I'd spent much of my life studying art, music, film, literature, economics, business, design, everything I could to understand how people live and how life could be made better. But speech, as a cultural, historical, political force, much less as an art form, had never been on my radar. These ancient ideas about speech fascinated me, especially in view of the vast number of people in America and around the world who seem utterly incapable of speaking well to others. They gave me hope.